Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
And now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is AT&T SportsNet Pittsburgh host and TNT guest Hall of Famer Paul Alexander. And Pittsburgh sports fans know Paul and what a great job he does on the pre- and post-game shows for both the Pirates and the Penguins, and also covering the Steelers. And you guys know that Paul is one of our favorite all-time guests, and that's why he's a TNT Hall of Famer and really one of our favorite people anywhere on the planet. And we always look forward to getting to spend some time with him, and excited he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Paul, Happy New Year, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Paul. Happy New Year, gentlemen. This is kind of a strange time to be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Certainly is, growing up with the Steelers and being a Pittsburgh sports fan my whole life. I mean, we really hit a really strange place and a strange time. This should be a great opportunity for us to chat about the Steelers' chances in the playoffs. But as we all know, they kind of imploded. They figured out ways to lose games that they had no business losing. They seem to be falling apart at the seams. I'm not sure if anyone has their hands on the wheel of that ship, but it's not headed in a very good direction right now.
No, it is not. And that's the thing, Paul, I mean, and Bob and I have been talking about this throughout the episode. I mean, when you think about the story franchise that the Steelers are and the Rooney family and all those sorts of things, to me, and again, I'm like you, from Pittsburgh, Pirates and Steelers and Penguins and all that sort of stuff, I never would have guessed a team with as much drama that is going on within the organization over a football season would ever be the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is so un-Steeler-like. I mean, the Rooneys, they got to be losing their mind, do they not? I mean, this is not the way they run an organization. It's never been like
that. No, and I think we've seen, and going back to the Chiefs and then with Dan and now Art II, if you've ever watched the progression of a family business, and I've seen a lot of businesses handed down, and some absolutely take the reins and do even greater things. What I've seen with this situation is, I think Art II is a lot more hands off than certainly the Chief and certainly Dan. I really don't think under Dan's leadership and God bless, think this would have happened. I think there would have been a little more discipline, a little more we need to straighten this out kind of thing. And granted, we're asking in a lot of ways to put the toothpaste back in the tube, and as you all know, that doesn't happen. We live in an era of social media where the players are making such astronomical salaries that the coaches are the ones that are going to go if there's a power struggle. We saw Mike McCarthy, a good Pittsburgh guy, because Aaron Rodgers didn't want him to be the coach anymore. He's not. And I think coaches like Mike Tomlin, there's a trepidation there. You have to tread softly and lightly when star players start going a little bit AWOL, when star players start like Le'Veon Bell. He told everybody this year that he would be back at the beginning of the season. The teammates, the linemen even said, well, he lied to us. He didn't do the right thing. Antonio Brown 2 years ago with the Facebook Live nonsense. How do you really discipline star players? It's such a difficult era in which to be a coach. That's why I think a lot of guys like the Nick Sabans of the world, they dip their toe in the NFL world, and then they run back to college because, they're the almighty deity. It's their way or the highway in the college ranks. In the NFL, not so much. Bill Belichick certainly deserves all the credit in the world for creating a culture where if you step out of line, you're gone. Now, his quarterback didn't want a certain quarterback around as the backup anymore, and Bill Belichick lost that battle, one of the few that he's ever lost. But I think you have to be so careful now with the character of the player that you draft or that you trade for or that you acquire. You think back to the Steelers of, their last Super Bowl championship team, just such great character guys. That 05 team, the leadership on that team. I mean, if you went astray and you got a look from Jerome Bettis or or Aaron Smith or James Ferrier. I mean, I could go on and on and just list the great leadership and character guys on that. Right now, and I don't want to really take a huge shot at Ben. He's a great player. He's not a great leader. I mean, he's never voted the MVP of his own team. He's rarely the captain of his own team. And now the character guys like Garrett Smith and Brett Kiesel and just, you know, guys that would always stand up and I think take control of that locker room when it needed to be taken control of, those guys are gone. And Antonio Brown's a knucklehead. He just happens to be one of the most prolific wide receivers in NFL history with six straight 100-plus catch years. I mean, he's going to go down as the Steelers' greatest receiver ever, and they have a couple of those guys in the Hall of Fame. But he's also going to go down as maybe the biggest knucklehead in the history of the Steelers. Not a good combination.
It is not. So what do you think is the genesis of this most recent issue last week and, you know, not coming in on Monday and the – not being there for the walkthrough and all that. Is it the fact that Juju Smith-Schuster won the team MVP? Is this his little tantrum saying, I should have been the MVP and you named this guy MVP, so now I'm not going to show up?
Chris, I think he's that immature. I really do. My good friend Ed Bouchette, the Hall of Fame sports writer for the Post-Gazette, that's what he figures it was because it happened directly as a result of that. That's when he was scheduled for an MRI, didn't show up, did not answer a phone call from Art II. When a Rooney calls you when you're a Steeler, in general, you pick up. He didn't answer the phone. It's just incredible. And now he's hanging out with James Harrison, who's done nothing since he left, but takes shots at Mike Tomlin and the Steeler organization. And here's an organization that looked the other way or certainly didn't do the ultimate in, disciplinary action when he was found guilty of some domestic abuse situations. I mean, he was allowed to become a superstar thanks to the Steelers, and now he's, turned his back on that organization. And hanging out with James Harrison right now, that's like the ultimate slap in the face that Antonio Brown could do to the Steelers right now. So there's a tremendous state of disarray right now. I don't know what way it's going to go. A lot of people are speculating that there's no way the Steelers take this guy back. But at the same time, what kind of precedent do you set when you simply don't show up? You go AWOL and you decide in a must-win situation game that you're just not going to show up. And then you get your way and get traded because you behave badly. As a parent, one thing I never thought you could ever reward is bad behavior. And if the Steelers reward bad behavior in this circumstance, isn't that a precedent for Juju in 3 years if he becomes a superstar but, doesn't like the quarterback that he's playing with and decides he wants to be elsewhere, even though he's under contract, then, just behave badly and get traded. It's a weird and really difficult situation for the Steeler brass right now.
Yeah, and I agree. I just, you think the opposite side of the coin to that is if you bring him back, I mean, and you don't do some sort of, heavy discipline, and I don't know what that would be. What are you telling the other guys in this locker room? Right. We look the other way. We don't any form of punishment or any sort of discipline because, he's a star player. So we let that go. I just think that also sends a bad message to the other guys in the locker room. I agree. I think it's a tough spot. I don't know which way you go, but boy, it just doesn't feel like a situation that can end well. And I think we're in for a lot of speculation, even though, I get in to your point about Ed Bouchette, great writer. I love Ed's stuff and I love his insights, looking at, can you trade him? What kind of cap hit does that mean? It's not as bad as the $21 million. That he wrote the article about saying, hey, there is opportunity to trade him. I just don't know how you have a guy like that in your locker room and what that does to your point about having great guys of great character. And then you've got this guy, this sort of poison pill running around every time he doesn't get his way. He's kicking over Gatorade jugs and not showing up for practice and meetings and walkthroughs. I don't know. It seems ugly.
Furniture off the condo roofs. I mean, yeah, he's done right. It all. I mean, this guy, he's not a good guy. He threatened to punch out an ESPN writer but basically exposing some truths about him. So, yeah, I mean, they have looked the other way. And I think Jimmy Johnson was the first coach to, I think, be extremely honest about that, that, you know, your talent level will determine, you know, what you can get away with. But this guy's definitely gone way too far. What a shame to waste that kind of ability and that kind of talent. And I've been around him a good bit. We used to actually host the Mike Tomlin show together, I think 4 or 5 years ago. And he would have under the desk while we were doing the show, this real elaborate, you know, grip strengthener. And he would just alternate between his left and right hand. Even while we were on the air, he was making his fingers and his hands stronger. Everyone on that Steelers staff and every teammate will attest, no one works harder. You know, after practice, during training camp, he's you know, catching balls from the jugs gun. He's running pattern, you know, as conditioned as any athlete in the NFL, as gifted and as talented as any athlete and any receiver in the NFL. I mean, right now you're putting him up there in Jerry Rice kind of rarefied air in terms of ability, in terms of getting his feet in bounds on unbelievable end zone and sideline catches. This guy's a special talent. But, you know, it's a $1 million talent and a 10 cent head. I mean, it's the guy doesn't have the wherewithal mentally to understand how he needs to conduct himself. And now he's made more money than he ever imagined. And he doesn't seem to care. So I don't know how you go forward with this guy. I really don't. Yeah.
Bob, questions for Paul?
Yeah, Paul, it's a heck of a way to begin the new year, but you'll appreciate this, Paul. I put a poll out on Twitter the other day. I said, who has more drama at this point, the Steelers locker room or the next episode of The Young and the Restless? The Steelers locker room won 80-20, so that's not good. So I don't know where we go from here, but try to put yourself, Paul, in the position of Roethlisberger now. You know, he lost his running back beginning of the year, obviously. That wasn't a whole good situation. Now this situation, his window's getting smaller. Tomlin's window's getting smaller. I mean, Roethlisberger, I mean, you mentioned he's not the greatest leader, but this has to bother him, and he's probably not in a good frame of mind right now.
No, I can't imagine. And, you know, he goes over 5,000 yards and has a pretty prolific statistic. So leads the NFL in interception. So he didn't have a great year. And I think what's really, you know, difficult for Mike Tomlin, you know, they go 13-3 last year. And it was mainly because Chris Boswell kicked themselves out of a few really tough situations with a lot of game-winning kicks. This year, he kicked them into horrible situations with the tie at Cleveland, losses in Denver, other really, you know, timely misses, missing extra points, Ben's throwing picks on the 2-yard line at Denver. So, they really should have been at least 3 or 4 wins better than their 9-win season. And then somehow I think all of this goes away. I forget which manager it was. It might have been Jim Leland, who said, you know, on a winning team, when you have a guy that's a bit of a knucklehead, people will say that he's a character. On that same team, that same guy, if you have a losing record, he becomes a cancer. That's just the way winning kind of masks and fixes everything. If this team right now were preparing for a playoff game, Antonio would be back in the fold. They would have figured out a way to soothe his very fragile ego, and they would have swept this nonsense under the rug. But the fact that they missed the playoffs, and now we're looking at a Steeler team, which every year is, I think, a legitimate AFC contender for a Super Bowl, they have now won 3 playoff games in the last 8 years. And as you pointed out, Bob, this window for Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger and this group and this core, you know, Ben's the only holdover left from the last Super Bowl championship team, the only guy left on this roster. So it's not a good situation. And Chris, you'll certainly attest to, from the days of Terry Bradshaw, then everything in between Terry and Ben, we had some rough times at quarterback. I mean, there were some guys in there that don't exactly, you know, you're probably not, you know, carrying a lot of their jerseys in your closet right now. But, you know, franchise quarterbacks are tough to come by. And if you don't have a big-time coach and a big-time quarterback, you know, with the exceptions of the Ravens with Trent Dilfer, you don't win Super Bowls without that combination. That's a simple fact. So I don't know what's in store for the Steelers going ahead. I certainly don't know what the magic solution is here with Antonio Brown. But if you keep taking weapons and superstars away from Ben, well, that window is going to close a lot faster.
And, Paul, about the people that are giving heat to Mike Tomlin, what goes under the radar screen is that they recovered very, very well from Le'Veon Bell's absence with the whole James Conner. And these are things Tomlin doesn't get credit for, et cetera. So, I mean, I think the way he handled Drew Rosenhaus, who talked about, my man is ready to play right now, and he basically say, we don't work like that here. I mean, he stood up. He did what he thought he was. He's trying to do the disciplinary thing. I think he's caught in the middle of a lot of stuff right now, and I don't know where his head is at right now, Paul.
Yeah, what a tough situation to be in. And I think right now the last thing you want to be known as is a player's coach. That kind of intimates that the inmates are running the asylum.
True.
And I really believe, you know, we talk about this generation of children. We talk about this generation of athlete. I think what everybody still needs is tough love. And I still think there has to be discipline. The rules have to apply to everybody. And you have to be willing to stand up to these superstar athletes and let them know that there's a culture. Now, Mike Tomlin, I respect the heck out of him. His concept is these are grown men. These are adults. And I'm going to allow them to be adults. But the problem is, you know, there's too much wiggle room there for these guys to be knuckleheads and to take away what should have been, I think, a great run at a potential Super Bowl, you know, potentially number 7 for the Steeler organization. And they don't even make it to the playoffs, not because of a lack of ability, but because of a lack of execution, a lack of discipline, and a lack of cohesiveness. And guys not playing for one another. There's a total lack of leadership in that locker room. I want to apologize for saying that to the offensive line, because with Pouncey and DeCastro and Ramon Foster and those type of guys, you have great leadership and character right there. But unfortunately, you know, O-linemen often go unnoticed unless they get, you know, called for holding or they jump off sides or something along those lines. But those are great guys that I think deserve a whole lot better than what their star skill players have given them.
Paul, just a couple more before we let you go. Thoughts on Keith Butler? Is he back next year as the D coordinator?
It depends how Art II decides. Really made pretty steady improvement. You know, they let a couple big drives, fourth quarter leads, you know, disappear, which is certainly not the mark of a good defense. But I often look at what guys on this Steeler defense outside from the interior defensive front are starting for other NFL defenses. Not many. So,
nope.
You know, it's not the X's and the O's. It's the Jimmys and the Joes. I mean, that's been an old time saying that I believe in. If you give Keith Butler talent, which he's had in the past, he looks like a pretty good defensive coordinator. Right now, without any semblance of an interior linebacker, with extreme issues outside of Joe Hayden in the secondary, this defense is patched together with some real, you know, shaky talent. So if they insist on a scapegoat, to me, Keith Butler's an easy one. I don't think he'll be unemployed very long. Pretty good defensive mind that they, all those years they kept Dick LeBeau here. They, you know, Keith Butler turned down 4 or 5 different coordinator jobs, and they gave him some nice raises to keep him around. He gave Mike Tomlin his first NFL job. So there's some loyalty there. Loyalty is not exactly what it was back in the day, but I hope they don't make him a scapegoat, because that's all he would be. He doesn't have a lot of talent back there on that side of the ball. I don't think he's really made huge mistakes in terms of, you know, you have an Artie Burns as a first round pick. When you have complete abject failures in the first round with a defensive pick, it's hard to put together a real strong defense.
So that begs the question, is Kevin Colbert held accountable?
Yeah, I think Kevin's going to have to face the music, but I also think that the Kevin's, you know, assembled, you know, three Super Bowl teams, two of which won. Not many GMs have that on their resume. You look at, I'm not sure he wants to put Antonio Brown on his resume right now, but not a bad find in the sixth round from Central Michigan. But, you know, James Conner, as you pointed out earlier, not giving Mike Tomlin any credit. You know, how about giving Kevin Colbert a little credit for grabbing him in the third round? So, you know, you look at Cam Hayward, you look at, you know, Stephen Tuitt, you look at, you know, the move they make to go get Joe Hayden. I think Kevin Colbert has a lot left. I don't think he's forgotten, you know, how to draft or how to scout. Really, this team, even as strangely assembled as it is, if Chris Boswell has a year like he had a year ago and Ben doesn't lead the NFL in picks, we're talking about a 12 or 13 win team and probably the number two seed in the AFC.
Paul, before we let you go, remind our listeners about all the great things you're doing. No, please finish your thought, by the way.
No, it's just a matter of I feel bad, and I think we want to get rid of everybody this day and age in sports. And the one thing I love about the Steelers is they want continuity and stability. You know, you just look at the contrast between the Steelers and the Browns. They've had 1,000 head coaches and 1,000 quarterbacks in the last, you know, 5 years, when the Steelers have had 3 head coaches in the last 48 years. So I don't think there's going to be any wholesale changes. There may be a scapegoat or two just to kind of placate the fans a little bit, who, you know, your birthright in Pittsburgh, Chris, as you know, you're entitled to a Super Bowl every year or someone has to be fired.
Right.
It's just the way it is among this fan base. But I'm still happy to help out on AT&T Sportsnet. I love doing the Pens, who, by the way, they have now won, I think, 7 in a row with that big win over Boston last night. We're still waiting for the Pirates to do something that resembles a big offseason move. I think everybody would be excited about that. So I'll be happy to chime in when they do that. So maybe I don't know if that'll happen or not. I don't think Bryce Harper's on the radar. Tulowitzki's a Yankee, for heaven's sake. They could have had him.
I know.
For, you know, major league minimum. I know they didn't.
Right.
You know, they. I don't know what.
How did they not pull that trick?
They have a great pitching. I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, they've already made, you know, an off-season move. I forget who they acquired, but last year the Pirates had the disdain of being the only major league team that did not add a free agent in the off-season.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's one thing as a Steeler fan to be robbed of your birthright of a Super Bowl every year. But how about the suffering Pirate fans who don't even get an off-season acquisition to talk about?
Right.
It's
unbelievable.
It's funny, but it's not funny.
You know, yeah.
It's just, right.
It just is what it is. Well, guys, it's great to be with you in 2019. And I'm really anxious to see how this, you know, I think Bob called it Young and the Restless. I'm referring to the Steelers now as the Kardashians.
Yes.
Right there with them.
That's catching fire, too. Paul, thank you so much for your time and your insights, my friend. You're always the best.
Oh,
and by the way, congratulations to you and Shelley.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm a lucky man.
Yes, you are. Take care, Paul. We'll catch up soon.
Talk soon, Paul.
All right, gentlemen. Take care. God bless.
See you, Paul. That's the great Paul Alexander. They don't come any better than that man, Bob. Just, you know, I love everything about Paul. His insights are fantastic. His thoughts are organized and constructed. He knows what he's talking about, and he's a heck of a great guy.
I can't add anything more than what you just said, Chris. And like we said, you're going to get what you're going to get, and it's going to be the truth. And that's what I just love about the guy. And he'll have the quote probably of 2019. When a Rooney calls, you normally pick up the phone.
You do.
Oh, my
God. All right, we've got our next guest, Boo Williams, hanging on the line. Going to get to Boo on the other side of this quick station break.